Hi there, viewers. My name is Harshvir Billing, and in today's podcast episode, we're going to be examining and talking about death. We're going to have a special guest appearance today, and we're going to hear their thoughts and what they think of today's topic and discussion. And we're also going to hear their point of view and what they think of it. So for now, let's begin. Regardless of race, religion, geographical area, or any time period, every human that has stepped foot on this earth has always wondered about the one fact that unifies us all, that one fact that every human being has to go through and is a common concept for them. What is death? Death is something we all think about. Death and its concept are absolutely empty. No picture comes to mind. It's a blank canvas. The concept of death just has a use for the living, while death itself has no use for anything. All we can say about death is that it's either real or it's not real. If it is real, then the end of one's life is just a simple termination. It's the dead end. If it is not real, then the end of one's embodied life and soul is not a true death, but in fact, is a portal to another life. Birth and death are the bookends of our lives. It's the starting and the end of each person's life. Living towards death in time gives one's life a direction and framework within which to understand the changes that life brings. This sense of time gives people an idea of what they want to do in their life with the time that they have left. They know that they're going to die one day, so they try to accomplish whatever they want or spend as much time as their loved ones before the inevitable time comes. The world looks very different from the young and the old. The young look forward towards into the future. The old look back. What matters to us changes as we get older. The prospect of death informs these changes. The youth have an intellectual understanding that death comes to us all, but their mortality and has not come real to them. They have now realized that we are also, them, the youth, are going to die one day as well. They still think that they're inevitable and that they're going to live forever or nothing's going to hurt them. But for the old, mortality starts to sink in. They start to realize that, oh, I'm not going to live as much longer. My knees are hurting. My health is deteriorating. All these health problems come to them. And then they realize that I don't have as much as time as I used to have when I was young. The old take their time with things. They embrace every little things in life. They have realized that money and success is not everything in life, and that there is more appreciation in the little things in life. For the young, they haven't realized this yet. They are still stuck in the idea of making as much money as possible, and they're stuck obsessing over materialized things. I can also see this referring to myself, and this concept applies to me, because I'm young and I'm also stuck looking at, oh, I want more money and I want more objects. I want the newest phone, the newest clothes, the most expensive games, the nicest car, the watches, the shoes, and all the rest of the stuff that today's millennials want. Only with time, my age, and realizing how death is close to me and that it will come to me as I grow, that I will learn to appreciate the smaller things in life, such as going for a nice walk on a trail, having a nice coffee in the morning with the birds chirping while I'm reading the newspaper. We can also look at death from a whole other perspective. We can look at it from an educational perspective. From an educational perspective, death is a gateway. It provides insight into science, archaeological digs, and environmental factors that can also lead us to find out more about mummification and the past. It's a window into our history as well. Bodies preserved in certain bags and certain areas in glaciers allow us to look into life thousands of years ago, as do artifacts that are buried with the dead. This is how we know so much about the past. This is how we found out about dinosaurs, what time period they roamed in, and what type of different species there were. The same goes for humans. This is how we found out about how we evolved as humans, what type of different creatures and different versions of us were here before us. All of this is by finding dead bodies in the ground. We found a whole gateway to the past. This alone has brought so many answers and facts to the world that we would never know about. By finding bodies under the ground, archaeologists have also found how some religions and cultures operated in the past. they have found some bodies which seem to be sacrificed to God or whatever Holy Spirit those religions and cultures believed in that time period. Since we have now covered the idea of death, we should now talk about funerals and funeral rites. Anthropologists label funeral as a rite of passage, which affects everyone, including the deceased. His or her, the people that are passed away and deceased, their social status changes dramatically. They become from a living contributing member to the community, to whose contributions are in the past and are in people's memory and not in the present. Funeral rites are the traditional ceremonies associated in connection with the burial or cremation. These rites vary across religious groups, often with a specific set of rules as for what to do. In today's podcast, we will be comparing two different religions and how their death traditions compare with each other. The question we will be answering today is, how would Sikhism death traditions compare with Zoroastrian death traditions? Well, first of all, we should be talking about how Zoroastrianism people do their funeral rites. Zoroastrians are famous for their tradition of exposure or laying out the dead. In Mumbai, the Zoroastrianism Towers of Silence, which have been named Towers of Silence, have been a focus of interest because it is one of the few places in the world where this tradition can still be upheld. Zoroastrians believe that as soon as the last breath of the body has left it, the body becomes impure. Death is considered to be the work of Angra Mainyu, which is the embodiment of all that is evil, whereas the earth and everything that is beautiful is considered to be the pure work of God. Instead of burying the corpse, Zoroastrians traditionally lay it out on a tower known as the Tower of Silence, to be exposed to the sun and eaten by birds of prey, such as vultures. So now that we have covered Zoroastrianism funeral rites, we are now going to cover the Sikhism funeral rites to see the contrast between the two and how they take their approach to deaths and funerals. Sikh funeral rites are a set of traditional religious ceremonies that occur during or around a Sikh funeral. These can include the preparation of the body, which includes a bathing and a change of clothes, the cremation service, such as prayers and chants, and religious readings after a Sikh funeral. A Sikh funeral service typically takes place at the Gurdwara, either before or after the cremation, although it can be held at the family home or the crematorium if the circumstances are not allowed. Traditionally, cremation is preferred for the Sikh funerals, although burial is accepted if circumstances do not allow, such as they can do it at home or a cremation service if the circumstances do not uphold. At a Sikh cremation ceremony, ashes of the deceased are usually buried or scattered in a river. But this depends on the location and family circumstances, if they wish to do so. Now we will be discussing what these two religions think of the body of a human being. In Sikhism, they believe in the concept of reincarnations, how one soul transfers from one body to another, the previous life form of being transmitted because of physical death. The cycle is rebirth and death until one can break it by achieving salvation. Salvation in Sikhism would be achieved by doing righteous acts and following Gurmukh. Gurmukh means to be God-centered, to live a wholesome life in support of the spirit instructed by the Guru. In Zoroastrianism, it's a little bit different as they do not believe in reincarnation. They believe that active participation in life through good deeds is necessary to ensure happiness in one's life and to keep chaos at a low amount. This active participation is considered a central element in Zoroaster's concept of free will. When a funeral takes place, many different prayers are said by close family members to the deceased to comfort them or to provide a sense of peace. In Zoroastrianism, they recite prayers from a certain Avesta, which is their version of a holy book called the Anuvati Gatha, which is recited to comfort and soothe the soul in the initial stage of its journey to the spiritual world. In Sikhism, they also recite many prayers. A Sikh funeral ceremony offers solace and consolation to the deceased by encouraging the singing or reciting of prayers whose comforting words describe the combination of the soul with the divine using examples that are found in nature. These prayers are from the Guru Granth Sahib. An example is Finding Peace, which is said in Punjabi as Jeeva Mara Sukh Hoye. This prayer is the scripture from the Guru Granth Sahib and is a composition by Guru Ram Das, the fourth spiritual master of the Sikhs. It is a reminder that death is just an inevitable event that is for everyone from the time of birth, and it's 100% guaranteed. No one can avoid this fact. And it's advising that a profitable life is one lived in remembrance of the divine light. Another thing we will be discussing in today's podcast is gender roles for both of these religions. We're going to look at it from a neutral perspective and see what these religions have set in place and any rules they have set in place for men and women during an untimely death, funeral, or funeral rites. What men are allowed to do and what not to do. What women are allowed to do certain things or not allowed to do certain things. Within a house of a death, it has been said in Zoroastrianism that the body, if it has been laid on some sort of stone slab, it has to be taken out, cleansed with sand and water, and left to be purified by sunshine. As for the gender roles, there are no specific as to what men and women cannot do. So I assume that they treat both genders equally with the same amount of respect as they treat each other. As for Sikhism, they do have a minor amount of gender roles. When a body has been washed, it has to be only washed by the same gender. For example, males only wash males and females only wash females. I suppose this goes for most religions, as it is like a universal concept. Another gender role aspect is when a body is lit on fire in a pyre funeral ceremony, only the males are allowed to light the fire. Women don't do that part. So this is where that small amount of gender role takes place in Sikhism, as compared to Zoroastrianism. Now, to sum everything I've said today, I'll say a statement that I will further discuss. This statement is that all death concept, funerals, funeral rites are all basically the same thing, no matter what religion you believe in or culture you're from. It's really all the same thing, and I'm going to give you three reasons why. Number one being that we all believe in the same thing about death, which is that the soul is transferred to another body or living creature until you've reached salvation. This is looked at from many different religions, and they all believe in the same concept. The thought of following your God or leader in ways which they prescribe is good and righteous acts, and following those listed things to do. The concept of doing good and selfless deeds will let you end up being with God in afterlife or being with God's spirit. Number two is the fact that we all respect, mourn, and love our past deceased loved ones in our own unique ways. It's the same concept, but people just do it in their own way. For example, Sikhism, there's a moment where the body is laid down and women are all on one side and men are all on the other side. The close women of the person that has passed away always mourn by saying and crying their name. They also chant Waheguru over and over to call God and make sure he is in the area where the person has passed away, and make sure that he's there to overlook everything to make sure it's all fine. This is just in Sikhism, and can be done in every culture or religion in their own different way. They can maybe do it in their own different way. The last point is that death is really all the same thing, based on the fact that we will all experience it no matter what, whether you be a certain skin color, race, religion, sexual orientation. Death is something that everyone encounters once in their life. Whether you be the richest person in the world, the poorest person in the world, the best looking, or the most successful, you will still encounter death. Some will encounter it earlier than others, some later than others, but it's still a guaranteed fact. There is a saying that I would like to leave you with you guys today. That is that there are three things in life are guaranteed: birth, death, and taxes. That's a saying that I would like to leave you guys with today, and thank you so much for listening to my podcast.